Welcome to the No Nonsense Trivia Podcast. My name is Quizmaster Lee Brushnada. I'm joined here this week, and as almost every week, except for that one episode.
One episode. You're never going to let me forget.
Mark Davis. Quizmaster Mark Davis.
How are you, Lee?
I'm great.
Fantastic.
Not only is Mark here, though, we are joined by a third. It's been since episode 18 since we've heard his sweet, sweet voice on this podcast, and now it's time for him to take the spotlight.
Talked a lot about him.
Into his own.
Hey, everybody. Jamie. How you doing?
You know that voice.
That's Jamie.
Those dulcet tones.
How are you doing, Jamie?
Can only be
pretty good. I'm thrilled to be here finally.
Good, good. We're glad to have you.
Finally on your own.
Well,
did
yeah.
Did you feel like you were upstaged a little bit last time? Like you didn't really get your elbow room in or something?
I will say that I felt like I had to hide my light under a bushel a little bit, Lee.
Okay.
Oof. Because Mark told me to. But that's another story. I won't rehash.
All right.
He told me not to commandeer the podcast the last time.
Yeah, so he was setting you up for failure is what you're saying.
Pretty much. That's what friends do, right?
Rude.
What are you talking about?
I apologize.
You guys are longtime friends, right?
Since we were like 7.
Yep.
So
you guys sucked on the same trivia nip.
Basically. Well,
okay.
This is something I wanted to bring up, Lee.
It is yeah. Nipples.
Right? I feel like, trivia-wise, Mark begat me. Right?
Mm-hmm.
He brought me back in the days of Cool Hand Luke's and whatnot.
Right.
And then, I don't know if you know this, but I feel like the Vampire Lestat to your little tiny, who was that? Was that Claire Danes? Who was that?
Mercutio? No, that's...
What was her name? Oh, the little cute one with the curls, the blonde?
Yeah, the Drew Barrymore.
No!
It wasn't Drew Barrymore?
Oh, boy. We're going to get a miscorrection over this.
Interesting. Okay.
So anyway,
yeah.
Because I, as you know, subbed in for Mark many times when he couldn't do trivia. Nice guys.
Yeah.
One time, Mark said, hey, do you want to fill in for me this date, that date, such a thing? And I said, yeah, not really feeling it. And he was like, well, my friend Lee wants to try. Uh-huh. And I said, you know what? Give the kid a chance.
Give the kid a shot.
So I feel
thanks
like...
Thanks for making some elbow room.
A little bit begat you, Lee.
I don't know about that.
Maybe I opened the vein for you and let you suck from my trivia blood.
I don't know. I feel like Mark pretty much set that up. But
okay. Give Mark all the credit. That's my entire life story.
Yeah.
Mark does everything good. Okay, great.
I can see why you feel like an Anne Rice character.
I'll just go now. Okay.
Situation.
All right.
No, Jamie,
why don't you use Mark for both guest and host, and I'll just go.
No, Jamie, we should acknowledge, Jamie, I have played at your trivia once. You guessed it for Mark. So I have been on the other end of your Quizmaster whip,
if you will.
Yeah, and I found it enjoyable. I have to say, though, you are an abrasive host. You seem to hate the players, really.
No.
Yeah, no. Now you're getting all soft and sweet.
It's a shtick.
No.
Some people like insult comedians, you know, Don Rickles, that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's a shtick.
You know, I get it, too. I actually, once when I was guesting for a round at Nice Guys, Mark had to leave early, and I was there, and he's like, can you step in? And I was like, sure. I think I was, like, yelling at players in the mic, and Brittany came running around the corner, and she's like, "Like, stop yelling in the mic."
Yes. It can be a tougher room sometimes.
Oh, they're aggressive. I do not envy Mark in that situation. I mean, great place, don't get me wrong, and it's a fun atmosphere, but it's kind of like that, there's that hot dog stand in Chicago where, like, you go there and, you know, they're pretty much, like, coached into yelling at their customers.
Right,
you know,
the whole thing circle.
What's it called?
The Wiener Circle.
That's right, yeah.
Or there's a famous restaurant chain called Dick's Last Resort that's the same thing.
Right.
That's like my dream job, to be in the service industry and provide horrible service.
Isn't it everybody's
interesting dream job? Okay, so Jamie, thanks again for joining us.
Thank you. Looking forward
to asking you and Mark some great questions. I picked out some questions I think you guys will both be interested in. Hmm. Custom questions, if you will.
Nice.
Mark, I understand you're going to be going into your repository.
Gonna have to dig in the bag of tricks.
Jamie joined your trivia as a player this week, as he does every week.
Yes.
Yeah, Jamie goes to both of our trivia nights.
He does.
When I'm hosting at Three Pepper, Jamie's there. And then when you're hosting at Nice Guys, Jamie is there. And now, Jamie is here.
And sometimes when they're not at home, I put on their clothes and I dance around in their home. And we
pretend that we don't know that.
I'm sorry.
We pretend like we don't know.
We were paid not to say a thing.
It's all part of our agreement. Anyways, thanks for joining us, Jamie.
Some call it an agreement. Others call it a restraining order.
that could be a good trivia name. You're kind of known for your team names. You bring a lot of the names that Mark mentions in our weekly wrap-up. you know, to fruition. Like, What's Eating Gilbert's Gape, I think, is a recent one.
Yeah, right? We were, for the last about a month and a half, we've been trying to bastardize movie names.
Okay,
that's great. Just to give us it. As a jumping off point, we've done a couple times where we were real political, and I know you don't like to go political, so I won't mention any of those.
I really don't care. I mean, all targets whatever. On everybody's head, as far as I'm concerned.
See, we've done that.
As far as team name parodies go.
I see.
In the Steve Scalise way. That is not what I'm advocating.
We've picked on like local Cape Coral politicians. We've picked on Trump. We've picked on everybody. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's all fair game. One of my favorites of all time, though, was, Mark, do you remember there was a night where one of the teams, their team name was Meg Ryan?
Yes.
And I don't know why we all found it hilariously funny. Like, Mark said Meg Ryan, and the whole place erupted in like thunderous laughter. Like, and we were just, because it was so,
it wasn't
like,
your team though.
No, it wasn't ours. And so the next week, Mark had this lauded the Meg Ryan team with so much praise and given it so much credit for being so funny that every single team, we went around the whole place before we got there and decided that every team would be, do you remember this? Would be Meg Ryan, but in a different movie.
Yes.
So one team was like Meg Ryan in Black Hawk Down. Another team was Meg Ryan when a man meets a woman, or when a man loves a woman, and Meg Ryan in Joe versus the Volcano. It was every single team conspired against him, and that was pretty awesome. I mean, we've done the ridiculous to the sublime too. Like, I remember before, we've just made bizarre noises.
Mm-hmm.
One of my favorites was Kill Whitey.
Yeah, I remember that.
Do you remember that one?
You've used that a couple
times. The response to that one's at a particularly sparse night at Nice Guys. And an older, probably a lady in her 50s, 60s, her response, the only audible response was, oh. So I was like, yikes, okay.
Do you feel like you're getting in other teams' heads when you do stuff like that?
I mean, I think it's all part of the game.
Seems like an element of danger.
I think so too. I think when you hear somebody, they've got a good team name, you're like, oh man, they've got something going on, because there's obviously somebody with humor or wit or insight to something, you know, either pop culture or whatever. Somebody's got their finger on that pulse, so we better watch out because they know what's up.
You pretty much take inspiration on the fly, though. It's not like you come premeditated with a, unless there's like a running gag, like the Meg Ryan thing you were just talking about.
You know, we've actually done both. We've found ourselves, just spur of the moment, like the Wet Boys, for example. That was because Three
That's
Pepper.
The team that you play on with Mark at
with
Three
Mark,
Pepper.
Yours and every Monday night. And it was because Mark had ordered a burrito and it was particularly moist.
I think it was like the first or second time we were there.
I believe it was like the first time we all went together, and you said, oh, that's a Wet Boy. And we were like, and there's the team name. We've been sitting around playing a game or eating brunch or something, you know. Oh, we sound so bougie, eating brunch.
Who doesn't eat brunch these
days? And we just, something
even
comes up.
Blue collar workers eat brunch.
Oh, true story. Hey, brunch is delicious. But I digress. But we just come up with something in conversation, and we're like, oh my God, put that down. That's going to be a team name.
Yeah.
We've done that a lot, too.
Well, do you have any advice for any listeners who routinely come up with bad team names, and their team names are things like can't think of a good name, or, I tend to think that our listeners are probably savvy on the team name thing, but just in case, if there's anybody listening and they have trouble coming up with a name, what advice would you bestow upon them?
Number one, first and foremost, don't use "my couch pulls out, but I don't."
Please.
God.
I had one a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, they're everywhere. It's like number one on the list of...
it's fine.
What to name your team?
And then I would say, number two, don't Google best trivia team names.
Yeah.
Because it will result in the worst trivia team names. And
puns
the
are always
place.
Good.
Puns, wordplay. I even think just like listing the kind of people you're with, you know, like two dorks.
Yeah.
I mean, that's great. The other night we were trying to think of something because Mark wasn't there. So when he's not there, we try to bastardize the whole Wet Boys thing. You've probably noticed.
Yeah.
We've done the team aquatic.
Right.
We've done all these things.
Variations
the other night,
on wet.
On wet or a little less moist, you know. So the other night we did brain drippings.
Right.
And I love that combination of words, too. I think sometimes it's just like those band generator memes, you know. Just put some weird words together and you're...
And you're all right.
You're all right.
There was a team of two men and a woman last night at Bury Me, and they were going by Two Sticks in a Slit. Nice. So that's a good descriptive name.
Right, right, right.
That's biology.
Clever. Yeah. So if you're listening and you still are having some trouble coming up with team names on the regular, I have a tool that I want to share with you. This is Word Lab's team name generator, and we'll put that in the show notes of this episode. This thing is so good. I just want to read you guys a few that they spit out. And maybe you can give them a rating, you know, Quizmaster rating on, are these good team names or bad? The Thunder Cockpits. The Thunder Cockpits.
I'd give it like a 5 or a 6.
Yeah.
The Humble Court Scumbags.
I actually like that one a lot.
I'd give it like a 6 or 7.
I'd say a 7, yeah.
Engorged.
Week 7.
Engorged World Busters.
That's garbage.
Indifferent. You know, you got to remember also, when we played trivia at Stevie Tomatoes, we were Chicken Wing.
Yes.
I mean, it was just a name I used because I liked chicken wings. And then we also were playing more. I was like, well, the name of the team is Chicken Wing. So that's that.
Well, let's say, you know, our listeners, maybe they want to come up with something a little more glamorous, you know.
I'm just saying, yeah. I'm a bad judge.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe. That's fine. It's fair. We've got all varieties here.
In preparation for today, thinking about team names, I thought about way back in the Cool Hand Luke days, and our team names were literally just like Fletcher and Jamie.
Right.
Just everybody's yeah, team name one. Or
nickname.
Mark and Mike.
Seth does that, but he's a solo player, so yeah. It makes sense. But let me throw a couple more at you.
All right.
The Leather Tractors.
4 or 5.
All right. I was going to say solid 4.
I like this next one a lot. Fat Bedtime.
I like that. Yeah. All right. I don't know. That's got like an 8.5.
Yeah.
That's good.
I'm with you. 8.5.
Let's leave it. Well, I'm going to end on a high note there. Fat Bedtime. Take it if you want. You know, use that this week at your trivia.
That's good.
If you're a no-nonsense player, that's listener, good stuff. Use Fat Bedtime as your team name and let us know how that goes over. So if you like these names and you want to use a tool, it's basically just click a button and it just generates names. You know, that's Word Lab's team name generator. And also, if you're listening, write in. Let us know what your favorite team name is. If you use a team name regularly, nonsensetrivia@gmail.com. Let's get into our weekly wrap-up right now. Last week at number 3, Craft Brews and Beer Bar, it was unemployed.
You know what? You should do a thing where you go, hey, because now you put that music underneath it.
Uh-huh.
Where you go, let's do the weekly recommend. I go, hey, play us an Eric. And then it goes...
All right, here we are. Mm-hmm. Very nice. Ooh. Smooth segue. I like it.
Smooth
I like it.
Jazz.
This week at number 3 Craft Brews and Beer Bar, it was Unemployed in the Squeaky Chairs who won I don't even have it here. It's like 100 something points, though. High score. I think it was 98. They didn't quite break 100. Then at 3 Pepper, it was Lily Lou's Last Night winning for the first time. They've been coming since almost the beginning of doing trivia there, and they finally locked it in with a strong third round, 92 points total. Oof. And they're losing a team member, but I've heard that the rest of the team, which is one other person, Nick, shout out to Nick, is going to continue to come, and maybe he can build a new team, build a team anew around Lily Lou. And then at Bury Me Brewing this week, the Hideaways, a team of older baby boomers, just slaughtered everybody. There was 7 other teams, all diverse age groups, and I don't know what if they were professors or what their jobs were, but they were keyed into everything. They won with 85 points. Congratulations to the Hideaways.
There you go.
Yep. How did your teams do over at Nice Guys, Mark?
Well, our round one went to a team called Jar Jar Binks Abortion.
Which, I have to say, we were all in Nice Guys.
Is that what they're calling New York these days?
Oh, my God. We were highly offended by that team name, I have to tell you. Especially the Jar Jar Binks part.
Sounds like a Gigi Allen song. If he was still alive and cared about the Star Wars prequels at all.
Right. But the second and third rounds and the whole night went to It's Super Hole Sunday, So I Put It in Your End Zone.
Hey.
Winning the final night with 67 points, and guess who was on that team?
It me.
Okay. I should have recognized it by
and
the team
Fletcher
name.
And Fletcher and Kristen and A.A. Ron. Giggle, giggle.
A.A. Ron. Your cohorts on episode 18.
Yes.
Yes.
You guys were all on the little short black book of regretful team names.
Yep.
I don't know what you're talking about, Lee.
Oh, boy.
All right. If you missed trivia, live trivia this week, You can join us on February 4th at Three Pepper Burrito Company. Jamie will be there, I'm sure. Mark will be there, I'm sure. That's this Monday, February 4th. That's at 7:30 p.m. Three Pepper Burrito Company, downtown Fort Myers. Then on Wednesday, February 6th at Bury Me Brewing Company, also in Fort Myers. That starts at 7, ends at 7:30. Just enough time. Scoot on over to Nice Guys Pizza in downtown Cape Coral.
Zoom.
And play some more trivia with Mark.
Hi.
You can have a few hours of trivia entertainment. You can win all sorts of free beer and pizza. And more beer.
And more beer.
And if you haven't had enough beer by Wednesday, join me Thursday at Number 3 Craft Brews and Beer Bar. They have a lovely selection over there. That's right across the street from Nice Guys. I'll be there on February 7th.
Hmm.
Find out more information about all of our live events online, nononsensetrivia.com. All of the events are free to play. You can win prizes after every round. Join us.
Won't you?
All right. Ha-cha-cha-cha-cha. Jamie, great to have you here.
Thank you, sir.
We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back in round one with some trivia.
I can't wait.
All right, and we're back. We're going to do some missed corrections.
Bum, bum, ba-dum, bum, bum, ba-da-da-da-dum, bum, ba-dum, bum.
Missed corrections.
Ooh.
Jamie coming through. Guest vocals. Thanks. Featuring Jamie.
Ooh, I feel all tingly now. It's
officially
now.
A cover.
Yeah. Okay, so I have to, Mark, you were humble enough last week to admit a mistake that you made about an earthquake occurring in Alaska, not in Oregon.
Yes.
I have to eat my own hat right now. Because I made a mistake on the last episode. For some reason, I said that serial killer Ted Bundy attended Florida State University. I have no idea why I said this. What I meant to say was that he, you know, passed through Tallahassee. But in my brain, the wires got crossed. We had several people write in. Seth wrote in first with a lot of detail because I guess he watched the Netflix docuseries or whatever that's up right now. I'm not going to go into too much detail about it. Rob also wrote in. Yeah, so that was my bad. My bad on that. And then another miscorrection that we have is Fletcher, your teammate.
Yes, good guy.
The Wet Boys wrote in to let us know that Where the Heart is the movie about the birth in Walmart.
Yes, yeah, yes. So. It was actually a book. And then it's one of those that they hastily, I don't know if it was like an Oprah book club moment or one of those, but they made it into a movie, I think, pretty prematurely. Mm-hmm. And it's just one of those movies that as you watch, you're like, boy, this sounds like a book.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Like yeah. Characters named Americus and Sister Woman. Or no, it's like Sister Uncle or something. I mean, it's bizarre.
Yeah, not the way that people talk, but the way a specific author would talk.
Would talk.
You know, and like you're the like, voice of a specific, yeah, you would specific be author, way, stylistic author.
Way more likely to buy it as a novel character, you know, an eccentric mm-hmm. novel character.
Yeah.
Than an actual, like, living, breathing movie entity, you
right.
know?
And that was with Natalie Portman, right?
I think so. And Ashley Judd and Stockard Channing. Mm-hmm. And it had a pretty big cast, actually.
I felt like I went over to one of my friend's house in high school, and their mom was, like, always watching this movie. It was, like, always yeah. on. I don't know if they were, like, just watched a regular TV channel or something, or if they just played the DVD at, like, every day, like, 2 o'clock, gonna watch Where the Heart Is.
It is one of those that, like...
Let it roll, let it run.
2 p.m.
Roll that beautiful bean footage.
Thanks for writing in, Fletcher, Rob, Seth. If you have any miscorrections, if we're talking out of our ass and you can call us out on it, please write us at nononsensetrivia@gmail.com. Reach out to us on the other social media. We're on Facebook. We're on Instagram.
Ooh.
We're on Twitter.
We're all over the place, yeah. folks.
Tweeting. Yeah.
All right, let's get into some trivia, shall we?
Please.
Let's do it. Time, right?
Let's do it.
Jeez.
I believe so.
Yeah.
Chicken wing rides again.
What do you
ladies
want?
Ladies and
gentlemen. You first or me first?
You first.
All right. Question number one.
Mm-hmm.
In what year did Britney...
You first, sorry.
You first.
Sorry, go ahead.
In what year did Britney Spears shave her head?
Wow.
Jamie's got... I see the Rolodex.
Here's the thing. This is one of my weaknesses, and my teammates would probably tell you this. I'm not solid on years.
This event, too, is not like...
It's not one of those that I wouldn't really hang my hat on, no. But, I mean, it's
pop culture. So where were you when this happened? Like, what was your life like?
You know, living the dream, probably. What can I say? Molding young hearts and minds.
I feel like I was a sophomore, maybe, in community college at the time.
Jesus.
I'm thinking maybe it's like 2005, somewhere in there.
You know what?
Like,
I feel like, all right, let's put this in perspective. She's had a comeback now, right? She's had maybe two comebacks since then.
Yeah, now.
In theory, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you figure a comeback's a good 5 years,
you
right?
gotta go away if you to come back.
Yeah, you gotta take a break.
Time to go
you
away.
You gotta remarry some new manager. You gotta give up some legal rights to your kids.
This was after she got a divorce from Kevin Federline.
Oh, yeah. Oof.
Yes. That name is coming back to me now.
Oh, I'm sorry.
And he had a hit single. What was that called? What year was that?
I don't want to know any of that information.
This is how trivia works.
Yes.
Right?
It's down that rabbit hole. Mm-hmm. And now we're talking about Kevin Federline.
Yep.
He'll download the episode, I'm sure.
2005 sounds right to me. Maybe a little later. Maybe
put
6,
a picture
7.
Of Kevin Federline in the show notes.
Yeah.
As a guest star.
Mm-hmm.
We
could probably
get
him on.
What are you saying? 2005?
At this point.
14
yeah,
years?
He was a dancer, right? Wasn't he a backup dancer? And she was like, you're cute. I'm from Kentucky or wherever. Where is she from?
I have no idea.
She's a Southern
a Belle. Christian.
I know.
She is a good Southern Christian lady. Yeah, yep. She is.
Mm-hmm. This was after her relationship with Justin crashed and burned.
And didn't she also get married for like 45 minutes in Vegas once?
I think it was to Kevin Federline.
No, I believe this was like some dude from her hometown that she was like, hey, y'all, I'm in Vegas. I'm bored. Let's get married. There's actually...
Don't throw me off here. I don't know when that was. I don't know what
God.
That is.
There's a great Saturday Night Live sketch with Jennifer Aniston playing her and making fun of the fact that she got married in Vegas for like 45 minutes.
And it wasn't K-Fed.
No, and she says y'alls like every other word. Hmm. It's great.
Well, it's a rite of passage for some Hollywood starlets.
I'm going to go with 2005.
Not that that's what she is, but...
Because... Oof. Brittany, she's been down a hard road.
It's Brittany, bitch.
She's one of those that my dad would refer to as road hard and put away wet.
Leave Brittany alone. Chris Crocker.
Oh, God. That's not...
This was before that. Or after.
That's right. Before. Because that's when he was telling people that.
Now I want to go 2004.
Lee, you know what? I'm going to let you take the reins on this one, as I don't have a clue.
I feel like it could be anywhere between 2004, 2006. I'm going to average it out and say 2005.
Let's do it.
The correct answer is 2007.
Oh, so close.
2007.
Wow.
Man. Time flies.
That does not sound right to me, but I'm trusting you here.
Hopefully I'm not full of shit.
Last time you said 7 was a 0.0 earthquake in Oregon, and we all see how that worked out.
Wow.
All right.
Wow.
Okay.
I'm going to treat you nicely now, sweetly.
Thank you.
My goodness, it's like the Benedict Arnold of trivia.
I got a question for you here. What cartoonist once received an unsolicited piece of fan mail from Stephen King, which is rumored to have never been opened? What cartoonist once received an unsolicited piece of fan mail from Stephen King, the famed author, and it's rumored that this piece of fan mail was never opened?
Wow.
What cartoonist?
Wow.
Man, I'm just trying to think of famous cartoonists.
Famous cartoonists.
And R. Crumb comes to mind. I don't know why. Just because.
Now, see, you're a big fan of that movie. I think we've talked about it.
Oh, yeah, very much so.
The documentary Crumb.
Yeah.
This is when I get caught up on words and what was asked in the question.
Mm-hmm.
Now, as cartoonists, do we, like as a team now, do we think this is like, you know, Sunday morning comic strip kind of thing? Do we think this is like full-length animated feature kind of thing?
Not animated.
Okay.
That is not what I mean
okay.
by cartoonist.
Okay.
This is a comic
not animator.
Artist. Yes.
Okay.
I don't know why, but the first thing, honestly, that popped into my
and
head was...
writer.
What's the guy's name? I think he's Jane Pauley's husband who does Doonesbury. Like, what's it, Gary Trudeau?
No, that's the guy from Canada.
What? He can't be from Canada?
I mean, he can, but I'm saying he's the prime minister.
Oh, no, okay.
Is his name Gary?
No, it's Justin Trudeau.
Oh, Justin Trudeau. Yeah, sorry.
Oof. Okay. Oh, boy. God, I'm looking less cartoonist than good right now at this.
So it could be a writer also.
Well, it would make me think Stephen Jim King Davis is very political, right?
Yeah, he wrote a monthly political op-ed in Entertainment Weekly.
Yeah, well, it used to be great. I don't know
if it was supposed to be political,
but it was most of the time. It was. Yep. I used to read it religiously. That's why I would
King's Corner. Is that what it's called?
Something like that. He used to refer to himself as Uncle Stevie all the time, which I thought was so funny.
That's a weird
take it
move,
from
though.
Uncle Stevie.
He always put on sunglasses before he wrote that.
Coincidentally, Stephen King is another Mainer. Mark, yep. I'm sure you're aware.
Absolutely.
Stephen King and I went to the same elementary school. Different times.
Dude, different years.
Many, many decades older than I.
Yeah.
But both attended elementary school in the same building.
Any overlap in the teachers? Is it possible that you shared a teacher with Stephen King? That would be something.
That I don't know. That I would have to dig deep into that, but I'm not sure.
What you just told me. Cool, changes I guess, everything. But
I might have sat at the same lunch table as Stephen King. That's kind of cool.
I mean, maybe.
Eating my Salisbury steak.
Guys, what I want to know is who did he write a letter to?
Oh, you can tell we're deflecting,
yeah,
huh?
Yeah. Who did he write a letter to? Which cartoonist?
Stephen King wrote a letter to this
cartoonist. So far, we've got the Doonesbury guy who you haven't locked in the name yet.
Oh, God, can I write? Let's can I write the, in I, the answers? No, yeah,
did you say? Did you mention any other cartoonists?
I said Jim Davis.
Okay.
I said Robert Crumb.
Who's the guy that Jim drew Davis Garfield? Did
Garfield,
right.
Okay. Mm-hmm. There has been a...
Oh, what about Gary Schultz? Is that his name? The guy who does...
The Peanuts?
You're stuck on Gary.
Charles I don't think his Schultz. Name is it's Charles Jesus. Schultz.
It's, oh, no. I don't know how much I should be interjecting here, but Gary is not his name.
We're floundering. No, I mean, this thinking, is bad.
Who did Farside?
Oh, Gary Larson. God
there's damn. A Gary for you.
There's a Gary.
Maybe it's
a Gary.
Because Gary. Farside has kind of a twisted sense of humor. And that. We either need to choose like twisted sense of humor, irony, or political viewpoint. And that I think will make us choose. Which do you think Stephen King would more jive on?
I guess maybe politics.
So then let's go with, I swear to God, the guy's name is Trudeau, maybe, that does Doonesbury.
We're going to go with Doonesbury Trudeau guy.
That is incorrect.
Oh.
You have to understand that Stephen King, I think, was looking at this as a respect, not only to another artist, but another writer. But really, just the whole picture. The person, the cartoonist I'm talking about, is Calvin and Hobbes' Bill Watterson.
Oh.
And doesn't the unopened thing make sense with Bill Watterson, given his legendary seclusion and what word am I looking for? Reclusiveness? I almost George W. that. Reclusivosity?
Ooh, I like it.
Yeah. Reclusivosity? Mm-hmm. There's a team name for you.
Man, I have to claim ignorance on all of this. Like, this one is really stuff I need to study up on.
You've read Calvin and Hobbes, right?
A little. Right. I mean, enough to know who they are and their kind of viewpoint on the world, but not...
Okay, so Bill Watterson, basically at the height of the popularity of his comic strip, Calvin and Hobbes, quit. He was like, I'm going out on top, and I'm not doing anything else. I've made a buttload of money doing this. I'm going to go enjoy my life now and paint.
Nice.
And so he went back. He went back, or I mean, he never left. He never left his town, but the townsfolk respect him. Anytime reporters go to try and interview him, they never like give out his whereabouts or anything. Apparently, he just paints, and he's done like little guest spots here and there for different comics ever since.
Fascinating.
But he will not license Calvin and Hobbes out for merchandising.
Do you think it's because everybody pissed him off with the window decals?
I think, I don't know, like, he hates those things. I know he hates them.
I would hate those things.
But I think that's related to it somehow. But he always refused to do licensing deals, movie deals. They were trying to get a Calvin Hobbes movie going. He'll probably die, and then they will make a Calvin Hobbes
movie.
Yeah,
his whole family will parcel him up and ship him off and then sell everything. Mm-hmm.
Interestingly, though, in 1993, there was a textbook made specifically for children with learning disabilities that was all centered around Calvin and Hobbes comic strips. And it is a sought-after textbook. Copies can go from $900 to $2,300 on eBay.
Jeez. That's awesome.
Yep. Interesting. And also, interestingly, a comedian... I'll ask this as a trivia question to you guys. Which Saturday Night Live alum got a Calvin tattoo on air from Sean Penn in an interview segment on Saturday Night Live?
I think I remember seeing this, and I think it was David Spade.
That's right. It is David Spade. Good one.
Thanks.
All right.
Boy, I'm zero for zero. Like, I'm really... Thanks for having me on, guys. Trivia expert over here.
I got some questions coming your way, and I have no doubt you're... I mean, I tried to make them hard, but I just have this feeling you're gonna get them.
Okay.
Are you ready for your second?
I'm ready.
What 1950s actress was the first to appear on a U.S. postage stamp?
Oh. 1950s actress?
Yes.
My head went straight to Marilyn Monroe. Straight to Marilyn Monroe.
50s. When did Some Like It Hot come out?
50s.
Yeah?
Yeah.
All right.
I told you I'm not good with specific years. Yeah.
When did I Love Lucy go on the air?
But she...
Before the 50s?
She didn't really have that much of a movie career. I mean, she did before you said in the miscorrections.
Did you say actress?
Actress.
Yes. You didn't say movie actress. I guess if it was Lucy, it would probably say comedian.
I do know that both have been on a postage stamp.
Right.
But I think, and I do know that, yes, folks out there in a podcast world, Lucy made a couple of listener land. I like that. Lucy did make a couple of movies, quite a few movies, but she's predominantly known for TV.
Marilyn Monroe makes sense.
I think it's the way to go. I think she's iconic, and they've been licensing her image since like the day after she croaked, I think so.
There are other actresses like Elizabeth Taylor, but she was way before the 50s, so...
No, Elizabeth Taylor was like the 60s.
Really?
Yes, like Cleopatra and all that was like the 60s.
I don't know why I thought that was earlier.
Oh, no. Well, okay. Elizabeth Taylor started when she was like 13. Yeah. So she spans a larger period of time.
Marilyn Monroe predates Elizabeth Taylor?
I think so.
My mind's being blown right now. I'm going to go with... You seem to have a strong direction here, so let's go with Marilyn Monroe.
The correct answer is Grace Kelly.
Princess Grace.
I'm drawing a blank here.
She's a Hitchcock blonde, and she's famous because that was Tippi Hedren.
Okay.
But she is famous for giving up stardom to marry the Prince of Monaco and then tragically die in a car accident, I think.
Wow. Grace Kelly.
Yep.
Okay.
Wow. All right.
Got a movie question, pop culture question for you guys here. Kyle actually asked me this earlier, and I just thought this was a great question. So I'm stealing it.
Nice.
Previous podcast guest, Kyle. Check out her podcast, Be Your Own MILF. Here's the question. What 1999 film was movie critic Gene Siskel's last movie review for the Chicago Tribune?
One more time.
What 1999 film... was movie critic Gene Siskel's last movie review for the Chicago Tribune? I'm going to give you one other hint.
Okay.
This movie was later revealed by Miramax to be ghostwritten by M. Night Shyamalan.
Saul?
I feel like I should hang these headphones up right now. Get up and walk from here in shame, because I know absolute nothing.
Let me give you a quote from this review that'll maybe get you on the right track and away from Saw, which is incorrect. Way incorrect.
I don't even know when Saw
Gene Siskel called it the sunniest high school picture since Clueless, although it lacks that film's topical sense of humor. A 1999 film that was ghostwritten by M. Night Shyamalan, and that's the review that Gene Siskel had for
a high school movie. Ghost written by M. Night Shyamalan Ding Dong. Oh my gosh. All right.
I have no clue.
What's the one? What's the one with Heath Ledger that's based on Shakespeare?
Knight's Tale?
No. There's one of those teenager movies were coming out, and it's literally lifted from Taming of the Shrew. 10 Things I Hate About You?
That's the movie that you're referring to.
But that's not the answer.
No, this movie was based on Pygmalion, actually.
Huh.
George Bernard Shaw.
Which also spawned My Fair Lady and... Okay.
That's right, Jamie.
Okay, I'm getting closer.
Now you're going down the right track.
Spidey senses are tingling.
Any ideas?
No idea.
Okay. It's the one where, why do I remember this? There's a prom scene where everybody dances a choreographed dance routine and Usher is like the DJ.
That's right,
Jamie. What is the name of the movie? Oh my God. Oh, this is killing me. What is it? She's all right. She's not all right.
She's all that?
She's all that.
Yes, she's all that.
Yes!
I don't know how the hell I pulled that in.
Mark, I just put those words together.
You know, you did 99% of that pull.
Oh, I hurt all over from that.
M. Night Shyamalan, ladies and gentlemen.
No way! Was she dead the whole time? Spoiler alert.
Well, he let it out, like, oh yeah, I wrote that movie.
And, oh my God. And
Miramax said, We acknowledge that Mr. Shyamalan contributed to the script in a significant manner.
Wow. That is... I feel a changed man from now on because of that.
Pretty good question, huh?
That was phenomenal.
Yeah.
I feel like I just ran a mile.
Yep.
I am both invigorated and exhausted by that question.
Rest up, because we got more trivia coming your way. Mark. Don't
better stretch.
Mark.
We do indeed.
Don't we, Mark?
Yes. Here's your third question, yes?
Yes. Thank you.
Oh, boy. In what country did the French horn originate?
Seems like a trick question, doesn't it?
It does. This is a Mark Davis question.
Yeah.
Because he will ask a question like this, which, obviously, you would jump on France, right? Because it's the French horn.
Yeah.
But then you start sitting here going, well, that's too obvious. It can't be France, right?
Right.
And then you start postulizing, whatever the word is, like for 10 hours about what it could be when it was France all along.
Right. That's exactly the problem with this question. You know, actually, we got I didn't think we were going to have time to get to it, but we might as well mention it because it's relevant right now. Taylor wrote in with a question asking about... what we thought about trick questions in trivia, true or false specifically. And I wrote her back and mentioned that we talked about true and false. When you did the voting trivia, you had another person contribute some questions and you had to read some true and false and you hate them. Mm-hmm. We've talked about it
a bit
on the podcast, but the question that she wrote was, true or false, banana oil does not come from bananas. I feel like this question about the French horn is very similar to this, like, where it makes you doubt yourself, and then you get trapped in this freaking loop.
Like this vortex of self-doubt.
Yeah. Trivia vortex.
Should we just...
Polar vortex and trivia vortex at the same time?
The double vortex.
Double vortex. DV. we're reclaiming that acronym.
Thank you very much.
Woof. Should we just, throw caution to the wind and just steadfastly hold on to France?
He would be a dick if it was France. And I don't think Mark would do us like that. Do you? You've known him a long time.
I do think that he likes to make you think.
I don't know why. I mean, what are some other, let's just play devil's advocate here for a second. What are some other countries that are known for their instrument making?
Germany.
Right.
Brass
instruments. Germany. That sounds good.
I think German has a lot of oompa music, a lot of brass-based music.
You'd want a French-style horn in that kind of music.
Yes. Or is it somewhere like one of those Scandinavian countries where, they took one of those long ones and they just twisted it up? I don't know.
No. I like Germany. I mean, if you want to say France, I guess.
Can we split the difference? Can we go rogue?
What do you mean, like Spain?
No, like you answer your answer, I answer mine, or were we a team?
No, we're a team. We have to, you know how it works. You've been on a trivia team before.
I know, but sometimes I want, never mind.
So you want to say France?
I want to say France.
I'm going to, just as we talked about at the beginning of our last episode, I'm going to forgo my own ego here and join you with France here. So that's our answer.
The correct answer is Germany.
God damn it,
son
Jamie!
Of a bitch! I am sorry. I am sorry.
Germany.
I am useless. I am nothing. I'm a husk of a human being.
That thing's more German than food by the meat cottage served every Wednesday at Bury Me Brewing. Trivia.
Shameless
Come
plug.
Join us. No, the goulash there. I mean, it's for real.
Goulash. With paprika.
Every week I look forward to the meat cottage goulash.
Okay, check so yep. Can we get like a pity point? I know that was a
I mean, we don't really do points on the podcast, but
sorry mate.
Shucks.
This is that's a sorry mate is as close as we're getting to
all
a pity
right
point.
Well, I'll take it.
Yeah, all right. Now Jamie, I know that you're a big Disney fan. I think we've talked about it on the podcast when we have Disney trivia.
I love Disney. I'm an annual pass holder. Welcome to the family.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Yeah.
Yeah. And Mark, we'll thank you to stop besmirching us.
I'm proud of y'all.
Promoting his first film appearance, Donald Duck first appeared in an advertisement in what magazine, now highly sought after by collectors? What magazine features the first ever real world appearance, the character known as Donald Fauntleroy Duck? And yes, that is his actual middle name.
I have never in my life done so poorly at a round of trivia. I'm literally devoid of any sort of answer.
You've had your fair share of Slumdog Millionaire nights.
This is not one of them.
This is every week for me on the podcast, by the way, against this guy. This guy throwing me periodic table
so
questions every
bad.
Week.
Okay, let's... All right, let's
What magazine?
Sus.
It's highly highly sought after. Yes, yeah, sus.
Let's sus, Mark. Shall we sus? So, it would be in the golden age of Disney. So, we're talking like the golden age also of newspapers and magazines and periodicals. Two jump into my mind. Two or three. You're talking your Saturday Evening Post. I mean, because those already are complete collector's pieces because of all the Norman Rockwell art and the, you know, traditional stuff that was in those. Then all through that time period, a lot of stuff was in Look magazine. There's a lot of talk of Look. And then, of course, Time magazine has, you know, had a storied reputation for years and years and years.
I want to go with that.
Time?
Yeah.
All right. Do you have a strong feeling? Is it just gut? What is it?
I guess it's kind of gut. I think a lot of those other ones are a little bit too hard to answer. Time seems like one of those that everybody will shoot themselves for knowing they know, but not guessing it, maybe.
Jamie, do you know what the first appearance, the film that was being promoted was? Donald Duck's first appearance in a movie? Or
God,
in animated fashion, I guess I should say.
Isn't it something like The Little Hen or something like that?
The Wise Little Hen.
The Wise Little Hen.
1934.
See, I knew that.
That's 1934 awesome.
1934 is the year.
Wow. Yeah.
Donald Duck is that fucking old.
Dude, I mean, hey, he
looks
good.
Coming up on a honey.
He looks good.
Hot honey.
Yeah, all right, let's go with... I mean, does Time go back that far?
Probably.
I mean... All right, let's do it. We'll go with Time magazine.
The correct answer is Good Housekeeping.
Good Housekeeping.
Good Housekeeping. You forgot.
Oh, man.
I didn't realize Good Housekeeping went back that far.
I did. Actually, I didn't know this until recently. It was kind of cool that Disney did a lot of like propaganda stuff for the U.S. during the World Wars and stuff like that. Painted a lot of artwork on aircrafts.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not uncommon.
Involved in MK Ultra.
Oh, boy. But it's not uncommon to see, like, on vintage aircraft, like, a original Disney artwork. Donald or Dumbo.
You mean
or,
Walt Disney himself?
Or I don't know. Or he did some, but he was very big in, like, the USO stuff and, like, and allowing his licensed characters to be used in that way.
He was the opposite of Bill Watterson from Calvin and Hobbes.
Yeah, right. Basically.
It's like, paint Mickey on a fucking bomb and drop it, please.
They use Donald a lot on aircraft. They use Donald a lot because he's angry and, you know.
Yeah.
Because
he flies.
A furrowed brow.
You know, looks kind of pissed off.
All right, that's the end of our first round.
Fantastic. I have failed miserably, and I am sorry, America.
Well,
I promise I'll do you better next time.
Of, round two.
Wow.
Because they're only getting harder. Man. No, I'm just kidding. We'll see. I mean, maybe. We're going to be back in round two with Rate My Question.
Hi.
Round number two.
Let's do this. I'm reinvigorated. I'm pumped. I did some stretches. I did some meditations. I'm ready. I'm in this to win this.
Well, first we have a little Rate My Question.
Oh, I'm down with that.
Rate My Question. We kicked Ray Romano off this one. He's gone.
Temporarily.
I feel like we did it so long, it's kind of run its course. Maybe we can bring it back after
it'll come
a
back
while,
in its though. Own way. It'll come back when it's ready.
Yeah, gotta rate my question here. This was actually a manual turn-in from Bury Me Brewing. One of my players last night was like, hey, you never read my Rate My Question. I sent in through the website. I was like, I never got it. He's like, I've been listening, waiting. So I said, guy. Write it down. And I'll make sure it gets on next week's
episode. Here we are.
Good deal.
And I have not looked up the answer. The answer was not provided. So I figured we can just all work together on this one, actually.
Right.
The question is as follows. What is the unofficial title given to the rider who finishes last in the Tour de France?
Oh.
What is the unofficial title of the rider who comes in last place, the Tour de France? Unofficial title.
I have to say, I know what it is, right? I know it's a bike, but it's a bike race. I don't know the answer.
Oh.
I'm just saying, I'm not an expert in any means. I'm not a cycling enthusiast.
Yeah.
I'm sure if you were, you would probably know that.
Finn?
I was like, Finn? Finny? Le Finny?
That's a big sigh.
You watch a lot of ESPN, Mark, right? This never comes up. This never comes up.
Not that I know of.
When is the Tour de France?
No idea.
We know nothing.
Yeah.
We know that Lance Armstrong won a couple times, I think, right? We can all agree on that.
And then he had to forfeit that.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah.
For being a cheater. Sad day.
Had nothing to do with his nut.
Sad day. Nope. One nut was all he needed. Nothing to do with that. But he cheated.
Yep.
But he did get to bang Sheryl Crow for a while.
Decent.
What is that? I was looking at some birthdays, because I celebrity birthdays, because I've been doing these side sheets, you know, like born on this day, bonus points. You know, there's like six hints and years. And Sheryl Crow was older than somebody else, and I just was beguiled, bewildered.
Bewitched,
Beschnocker.
Beguiled, and bewildered.
Brushnighted.
Whoa. He's become a verb.
I don't know. I can't remember who that was, though. But anyway, back to the Tour de France.
I'd actually like to know what the answer is.
Yeah.
We can figure this out.
Well, all right. We're tapping out, I guess, right?
Yeah, I'm going to
say something like the champion of willpower or something along those lines. Like, it's a complimentary title. Like, that acknowledges not that they were the last, but that they had the most... You know, I don't know why. I feel
something
like it's going to be like
an
optimistic.
Now, I just think knowing how the French name things, mm-hmm. like I think of one of my favorite questions that I ever asked when I hosted in Mark's stead was what real estate term is a French word that means ass of the bag? Mm-hmm. And that's cul-de-sac. The cul-de-sac literally means, oh, you know, people are like, oh, yes, I live on the cul-de-sac.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I live in the ass of the bag, you know? So it's kind of like these French things are kind of like backdoor compliments, you know what I mean? Like,
I see.
Sounds nice.
Yeah.
But so I wonder if it's something like the bottom of the well or, but like some French version of that, you know what I mean? Like
derriere.
Like, yes, le derriere.
All right. Well, let's take a look. All right. The answer is the... Lantern Rouge. The Red Lantern, which refers to the Red Lantern hung on the rear vehicle of a passenger railway train or the brake van of a freight train.
Oh, like your brake light.
Yeah, which signalmen would look for in order to make sure none of the couplings had become disconnected.
See, it's kind of like a backdoor compliment.
You're absolutely right.
I knew it. Huh.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay. I knew it, but I didn't
know it. We didn't know the answer, but I like that question. That's a great, great question, even greater answer. I love that.
You know, I might even say that could be like one of those wager questions.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you guys feel that way, but because that's something
maybe I'll try it tonight.
I don't know. I do really like it because that would make me, I think a good question is one when I don't know the answer. Mm-hmm. I want to look up and figure out more about it. Like, how did I miss it? What did I miss? What I want more details, you know? Yep. And that definitely makes me want to dig in.
Are you guys ready?
Very interesting. Thanks, Gabriel.
Yes, thank you.
Good job, Gabriel.
Let's get started with our next round. I'll ask you the first question.
Yeah, you're first. Yeah. Sorry, my bad.
Yeah. This question is a music question, Mark. This will be a little pick-me-up for you here. Music question.
Okay.
Everybody's beautiful in their own special way. Is a line sung by who in the 1970 number one hit song, Everything is Beautiful. The artist went on to release the album Osama Yo Mama in 2002.
Dude, I think it's Lee Greenwood.
I don't even know who that is.
He's like country pop. I think he had hits in the 70s.
Do you know that first song? Do you remember it?
I do. Everything is beautiful.
That's the one.
It's very robust and like cheesy. Like,
yep. There's a chorus.
I smell incense and I feel shag carpeting beneath my feet when I hear it.
In the video, this guy says, come on, children, sing along with me. Oh, and it's like a room full of adults.
I want to say it's Lee Greenwood. Because I think Lee Greenwood also might have been the dude who said, did Proud to Be an American. And I feel like I'm on the right track.
Let's go with Lee Greenwood.
It is not Lee Greenwood. You're on the right track.
I hate my life.
The singer's name is Ray Stevens.
Oh, Boogadad. Is that who we're talking about? Guitars and isn't that Ray Stevens?
Yeah, I believe so.
He does all those comedy.
And the square, like when we were kids, they used to do. Well, when Mark and I were kids, Lee, I know you're like two decades younger than we. I don't want to start the millennial zennial conversation for the 30th time. But they used to do like those commercials, those extended commercials for like Time Life Records.
Yeah.
And it was like, oh, yes, they called him the Streak.
Yes, the Streak. That's the streak and
the squirrel in the church who runs up the old lady's dress and like, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I used to think as a kid, like, this guy is hilarious. Like, this is the apex of comedy right here.
Well, now it's like neocons and the alt-right that are pretty much giving him all his views. He like stumped for Sarah Palin, like, called like, I think it was like Alaskan Barbie or something was the name of the song. Wow. And I just looked and he's got like millions and millions of views on his YouTube channel, which is the only place that he's being played anymore. But it's like he had one video that was like, come to America. And it was like, basically, if you immigrate to America, we don't do anything and you'll be safe here. If you go to all these other countries, they have all these laws and, you know, and they're all it's all like super racist and stuff.
Wow. Jeez.
But yeah, he went from saying everyone is beautiful in their own special way.
To stay the hell 70s. Out of our country. Nice.
Total turnaround.
Why don't you just stick to Guitar Zan, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Boogadad, indeed.
It was Ray Stevens and fuck him.
Yeah, I didn't know he turned out to be.
And I would like to sincerely apologize to Lee Greenwood now for lumping him in with that bastard. Lee, if you're out there, I'm sorry. Not you, the other one.
I got it.
Okay.
All right, here's your question, guys. What is the largest country in Africa?
That's Brazil. No, I'm just kidding. That's how I typically approach these
can I just say, every time mm-hmm. a trivia host asks a question about Africa, they have to like preface. I don't know why people can't get it through their heads that Africa is a continent, not a country.
Right.
They all.
It's not like Australia.
Oh my God! Both. They will all so often mm-hmm. answer in the wrong way because of that misconception. Yeah. It drives me nuts.
Mm-hmm. So what do we got here? Kenya.
Can I?
No, Kenya. Oh, Kenya. Can you tell me if you think that might be right?
What's okay? We forget about Northern Africa all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Egypt is very large. You've got a thing for Namibia.
Well, I feel like Mark would ask this again and try and stump me on Namibia. I've been getting a lot of Namibia items on my Facebook timeline lately.
Really?
That artist just set up that it's like an art demo that where it's a bunch of speakers and they play Toto's Africa in the middle of the desert in Namibia.
Whoa.
I feel like if I was stranded in the desert and I came across a installation of speakers playing Toto's Africa, I would just assume I'm losing my mind. It's not real.
Total mirage.
Who would put this out here? And then I would touch it and I would rub the speakers on my face.
Oh, yeah.
And I would start crying.
Maybe chew the corner of it.
Yeah. Yep. And that's how I would die, trying to eat a speaker.
Trying to eat a speaker. Playing Toto's Africa.
I bless the race down in Africa.
Not the Weezer version.
No, the sad at home crying at yourself to sleep version.
Okay.
In the desert.
Morocco. There's Morocco. There's
small, isn't it?
Egypt.
Morocco's
there's
small.
I'm just gonna stream of consciousness. Yeah. That's what I'm gonna do here. I'm just gonna Morocco, Egypt,
Zimbabwe.
The Congo is small. Africa.
Yeah, smaller. South Africa's kind of small, I think. Smallish.
Nigeria? Sierra Leone?
I feel like if it was Egypt, that would just be like a thing that you know about Egypt.
Well, I mean, they have a huge city. Yeah. They have desert. They have...
Yeah, does the Sahara... I mean, Namibia, maybe it's... You know, there's a desert is in Namibia.
Pneumonia.
The desert is in Namibia, so it would make sense if that was really big, you know, because you wouldn't want to divide it up. I mean, maybe you would want to divide it up.
Divide up the desert?
I don't know who's dividing.
I want a piece of that desert, damn it.
Yeah.
valuable real estate.
Like all the other areas got cut up around. Just like call that in the middle.
You take the river.
So high. Yeah.
You take the river. I'll take the desert.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm thinking Namibia.
All right. You know what, Lee? Against my better judgment, because many times I've sat at home or in the car.
No.
And
you're right. You're right.
It's not
Namibia. You're right. It's not Namibia. I've been on the Wikipedia page enough to know that that's not in the first paragraph. I don't know, man. What do you think? What are you leaning towards?
It's
not Namibia, what?
I just went to Egypt first, just because I think people forget that Egypt is in Africa even sometimes.
In my mind map, it's kind of big, too.
Like, they just kind of think of Egypt as its own thing.
Mm-hmm.
So I would think it must be large, if that's the case.
Right.
And to have all the varied things that it contains...
Mm-hmm.
Maybe Egypt.
Some people think that Africa is a country in the continent of Egypt.
Those are probably the same people in elementary school that when reading aloud said democracy and filled me with rage as a young man.
Let's go with Egypt.
The correct answer is Algeria.
Algeria. We didn't even mention that.
You mentioned Nigeria.
Mm-hmm. Nigeria.
Are they next to each other?
Probably. Who knows?
That'd be good names
like
for kids.
North Dakota, South
Nigeria
Dakota?
Nigeria and Algeria.
Huh.
Pick your Geria.
Like twins.
All right. Here's another question for you guys. Mark, I know that you're a fan of the dice game Left, Right, Center. I believe we've probably all played it together.
Yes.
Yeah.
At Nice Guys.
Mm-hmm. Do you mind explaining the rules to our listeners real quick? Just in case they're not familiar with what the game is.
You start off with 3 tokens. Or dollars, or pennies, or whatever.
We have not played for money, Mark.
Nope, never. You'd always give back the money at the end of the game.
Yes, or donate it to charity.
But you have 3 dice. One, each dice has an L, a C, an R, and some blank spots or some dots. And you roll the dice. The amount of dice is equivalent to the amount of dollars, or coins, or tokens, or whatever,
that you have.
So you got 3, you roll all 3 dice. If a dice ends up L, you give one of your tokens or whatever to the person on your left, R to the person on your right. Center goes inside of a kitty. And if you get a pot, yes. And if you get one of the blank spots or the dots, you get to keep whatever dollar that is.
It's a very fun game.
It is.
This question is not about Left, Right, Center. It's about another dice game.
Okay.
So, what dice game goes by the other names Cosmic Wimp Out, Greed, Hot Dice, Squelch, Zilch, and Zonk?
Hot Dice.
Yahtzee?
Yahtzee was my, because that's like the dice game of all time.
Yeah.
Are there any other dice games that come to mind?
Let me give you another name that I didn't give out because I thought maybe the hint was too close. It also goes by the name 5,000, 10,000, 20,000. I don't know if you've ever played those games, dice games. This is my way of saying Yahtzee is wrong.
So, right, okay, right. Thanks. Yeah. That was the mercy killing.
5,000, if you've ever said, hey, you want to play 5,000? You want to play 10,000? You want to play Cosmic Wimp Out? That's like a marketed, branded version of this game that you can buy in the store. Greed, like, Crap Dice.
That's what I was going to say. The only other dice game I know is there's Yahtzee and there's...
We'll go with Craps.
Hey, you want to shoot crap?
No, I'm sorry. It's Farkle.
Farkle. I don't know what that is.
I have never in my life heard of a game called Farkle.
I feel
like that's like no you put glitter in my butt and I fart and it comes out and it farkles. That's what that is.
A fart sparkle?
A fart sparkly that fart. Saying? That's a sparkle Farkle. Fart. A glittery fart. That's a Farkle.
Well, now I want to play.
the dice game or with the glitter?
Why not both at the same time?
Hey, it's a party. Yep.
All right. I've got a third question for you guys.
Okay.
Now, I did pick this for you again, Jamie. Mark, I'm sorry. I know you're getting the short end of the stick here. These are Jamie tailored. We just have Jamie here for a short time. He's on rarely, as we pointed out. You can go listen to him, episode 18. Also, if you're a new listener and you have no idea who Seth is, who he was just doing the impression of, go listen to episode 7, Honey Tree Evil Eye. That's Seth's first appearance on the show. You can get all caught up with him. A friend and rival of Jamie's.
No disrespect, Seth.
No. We're all buddies. Anyways. Here's your next question. Okay. This comes to us from the world of theater, and it crosses over into the world of literature as well.
Oh, God.
So, that's right, Jamie. Oh. Can't be too easy now.
Oh, mother's milk. Mother's milk. Bring it to me.
What is the name of the series of poems written in the 1930s by T.S. Eliot?
Ugh, are you talking about cats?
That inspired a musical composed by Andrew Lloyd Webber.
You're speaking of the musical Cats. I'm not a fan. They're getting ready to make a movie with Tay-Tay, Taylor Swift.
And Idris Elba.
No. Idris Elba and a couple other people. And I'm like, oh boy, that's going to stink.
Now, this is now one I thought was going to stump you, but now you're going down a path.
Okay. So I know that there's a big thing with the phrase Jellicle Cats in the musical. Not angelic, not whatever. It's Jellicle Cats. God. And I want to say that it's not just cats. T.S. Eliot's title is not just cats, right?
That's right.
Okay.
It's Cats the Musical.
It's... is it Jellicle Cats?
That's the phrase, but that is not the title of the collection. I believe that's the title of one of the poems.
Damn it.
Yeah. So I don't know if this will jog your memory, but originally these poems were written to his nieces and nephews in letters, and only until, 10 years after they were written were they collected and published as a book. They were not written with the idea of, like, this is going to be a published collection of poems. They were just like little things that he wrote for his loved ones about cats.
I feel so bad I'm not more of a help. I'm sorry.
And he went by Old Possum to his nieces and nephews. The book is called Old Possum's Book of Practical Cats.
Okay.
I feel like I've defeated Jamie in a way. I'm broken. He was like, I birthed you, and now I'm...
I really just want to go lay down in traffic right now.
Well, you can't. We got one more question from Mark.
I hate this.
You ready for your last question?
Oh, I'm ready.
All right. Behind The Simpsons... What is the second longest running animated series in the United States?
Behind The Simpsons. Longest running animated series in the United States.
I think I know this.
Lay it on me.
Well, before The Simpsons, there had to be another one that was the longest running. And I believe that was a little show about a man named Fred. Poor caveman, barely kept his family fed.
Oh my goodness.
The Flintstones. That's what I think the answer is.
For some reason, I think you're right. Mm-hmm. I do think you're right.
Because when they started making that shit, it was in black and white.
Word.
Yep.
Say word. And then you got redheaded Ann Margrock shaking her gadunkadunk on the Flintstones. Decades later. You know what, Lee? I'm with it. I'm on your train.
Just a devil's advocate, can you think of anything else that it could be? Longest running animated show? The Simpsons? Simpsons started in like...
Well, a lot of those other early animated programs were like shorts for the movies, so... Then we're talking about
Hanna and it was Barbera. On primetime.
Yes, people don't know that the Flintstones was actually in primetime.
Wasn't kids shit. It's for adults at night.
I've always longed to have a steak situation, although I don't really eat steak, but I want just a piece of food that could topple my vehicle.
Right, you want a Bronto burger.
Something like, you know, like a chicken finger the size of my leg.
Let's go with the Flintstones.
I'm with it. Flintstones.
South Park.
Oh, we forgot. South we forgot Park is a about great answer. The Dark Knight. The Dark Horse, I mean. The Dark Horse.
Is South there Park. A sharp stick?
Yeah,
a blunt object I can force into a soft part of my face or head.
Jamie, let me personally apologize for bringing you into one of my I'm confident wrong answers.
I am coming off of this episode as the world's largest trivia booby right now.
I need to take that. I feel like I went strongly and then...
Dude, you sold me. Have you ever thought about selling used cars?
Yes.
I think you would do quite well. Ice cold air. Yeah,
so just something a little interesting. Yeah. Because I'm in my repository, that was from a few years back.
Yeah.
The answer then actually was Arthur.
Arthur. Cartoon?
Like on PBS?
Yep. Oh.
Really?
Which has done 21 seasons.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
239 episodes.
Wow.
South Park is now to 22 seasons. So in the time since I first asked that question, South Park has become older.
Why did I think of the Flintstones?
I wonder where the Flintstones rank.
Yeah.
Well, let me look.
Are they even on the list?
Please be five. Please be number five.
No. No.
Number five is number five is Space Ghost Coast to Coast.
11 really? Seasons.
The Flintstones, 17.
17?
No, it's the 17th place.
Oh, okay.
Six seasons.
That's it?
Six seasons?
Man, my intuition was way off there.
Wow.
And ended in 1966.
All right, well, on that sour note, let's go ahead and end this round, and then we're going to come back with a final round. Some best worst answers. At least maybe we can cheer ourselves up a little bit before we go into some of these other questions.
I am crying tears of pain right now.
We'll be back. We're back.
Oh boy.
The final questions. Oof. Jamie.
Look, here's the deal. They'll never know. Can we just go back and start over?
Yeah. No. We can't do that.
I feel like Mercury was in
retrograde.
Yeah, it was real slippery. Mercury was. I couldn't hold on to it. Something is definitely, my chakras are not aligned.
Mercury reminds me of actor Jeremy Piven having to retire from his Broadway role for having eaten too much sushi.
Yeah.
Why didn't you ask a question about that? I'm asking you right now, what play was that?
I think it was either Speed the Plow by David Mamet. Or it might have been something by Neil LaBute, like Fat Pig, or...
It is Speed the Plow.
Speed the Plow! Yep. Does that count for any kind of points?
That's absolutely. One that you got right on the podcast. Thank that you. One of us got right.
Ladies and gentlemen, David Mamet, Speed the Plow. Also, do you know who was in the original Broadway production of that you would not guess?
No.
Playing Jeremy Piven's role?
No, playing the female role. It's two men and a woman.
Is it Elizabeth Taylor?
No, it's Madonna.
Oh. Huh. On Broadway?
On Broadway.
Well, she is from young, New York.
Very, very young, yeah. Like very beginning of her career.
Oh.
Serious role, too. That's
good trivia right there.
Serious role, too.
That is good trivia.
Thanks.
Yeah. Let's get to some bad answers. We've had our own share of bad answers. And I just want to say, yes, we're maybe not performing as well as we usually do as far as like getting the answers right. But I think we're all having fun, right?
I'm having a good time, yes. Yeah.
People are probably learning stuff.
Leah, I'm miserable.
I know, man. Just saying.
I like winning.
Yeah, one more round and then you're free to go.
Okay.
You don't have to come back.
I'm probably not going to listen to this one.
All right. So let's do our little best versus answers theme.
Best versus answers.
Thank you, Mark. Okay.
You're welcome.
This week, I asked some questions. In food culture, what is the term for people who don't often eat meat? Participate in Meatless Monday.
This question melted my brain on Monday night.
Yeah. Here, let me finish it real quick.
Okay.
In food culture, what is the term for people who often eat meat but participate in Meatless Monday and make other efforts to have more vegetarian meals? What did you guys write down?
I wrote, and Fletcher was not with it, but I kept saying plant-based. Because, you know, a lot of those people now are like, well, I prefer to eat plant-based.
Right.
I prefer to stay plant-based. Mm-hmm. So I was like, dude, it's a thing. And he was like, well, that's not a category of whatever. And I was like, but I kind of think it is because people refer to themselves as that. But, so we put plant-based.
Right. But people, and maybe on Monday I hadn't refined this question to include the part that says that they still eat meat. Did I give you that hint?
You did.
Okay, all right. Because plant-based diets means totally plant. Meat. It does. It's plant-based. The whole base of it is a plant.
Well, the base, but anyway, not the decorative bits.
Let's not get into the semantics of it. I want to read some of these other answers that people came up with. Drew from Three Pepper wrote down, what the fuckitarian?
Yes.
Shut Up, Liver, You're Fine, which is the Canadian team that was at Bury Me last week. They wrote down that those people are called Wannabeefs.
Yep. Hey, Wannabeefs would make an excellent team name.
Yes, or restaurant.
Oh my god. If they serve those like Chicago beef sandwiches, yes.
Maybe if the Meat Cottage ever decides to Americanize their name, Wannabeef.
The Meat Cottage also sounds like a male strip club.
It does.
Yeah.
It does, but it's German food.
Okay,
you're in
South
Florida.
One and the same, basically.
You know what you're getting into. You're walking into a whole cottage of meat.
Yeah, it is a sausage fest.
Lily Lou's last night wrote down vegetarian-ish. Vegetarian-ish. Foreign correspondents over at Bury Me wrote down nerps.
Nerps.
And Billy's birthday wrote down millennials. The correct answer is flexitarians. Yep. I asked, the children's poem Casey at the Bat is located in what fictitious city?
Mudville.
Mudville's the correct answer. Between a rock and a moist place, wrote down baseball town.
Baseball.
Okay.
Comedian Bill Bellamy is cousin to what basketball star who played for the Phoenix Suns, the Cleveland Cavaliers, and the Boston Celtics? Squeezy Cheese wrote down Larry Bird. So either you don't know what race Bill Bellamy is, or hey, Larry Bird.
But you know what, Lee?
Yeah.
That's close-minded of you.
I'm not saying it's impossible, but improbable is what I'm saying.
I'm just saying.
Larry Bird sticks out as an answer.
In the words of En Vogue, free your mind.
And the rest will follow. I know. You're probably the only person that's excited when I play that at trivia.
That song.
You and me. Love that song.
It's time for a breakdown.
Mm-hmm.
That's not that
different
song, but it's a song.
Yep. Yeah. By En Vogue. Yep. Anyways, I just thought Larry Bird, something is not right there if you're writing down funny. Larry Bird. The correct answer is Shaquille O'Neal. Shaquille O'Neal, the Shaq Man. That's his nickname, right? The Shaq Man.
The Shaq Man.
Shaq Fu.
Bellamy's Chicken Shack. Jimmy's Chicken Shack.
Oh, boy.
You remember them?
Yep.
Sadly.
Try to forget them.
What was the name of the conference attended by Stalin, Churchill, and Truman to forge an agreement on how to proceed the post-war period following World War II? This was a losing factor for your team, the brain drippings on Monday, because you wrote down Malta.
Correct. And we did what we rarely do. We went whole hog on the bet. Yep. We rarely do that.
You suffered.
And we did.
It. Yep. Yalta is an acceptable answer, as well as the Potsdam Conference. I should have added Malta is a conference, but I don't believe Stalin was there.
You did mention that Monday night, yeah.
Billy's birthday, when asked what was the name of that conference that Stalin, Churchill, and Truman met to forge an agreement on how to deal with Germany in the post-war period in World War II, they wrote down the Catalina wine mixer.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And those are our best worst answers of the week.
Beautiful.
Wow. Pretty funny, right?
I'm sure next week...
Got a lot
week.
Of comedians in the player audience.
I'm sure next week you can add many of the answers we've given today.
Yeah. All right. Let's do our final questions, shall we?
All right.
Let's we do shall. It. Should I go first?
You shall.
All right. Here we go. What is Chuck Norris's real first name?
Hmm.
You know. Okay. So with the French horn thing,
yeah.
I said, let's go France.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not going to say, let's go Chuck.
Yeah.
For sure.
You think it's Charles?
Chester? Oh, my God.
Chuck.
You know, I know so many of these.
What kind of man goes by Chuck whose name isn't Charles? That's what I want to know.
Somebody with, like John Wayne, whose name was Marion. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, I'm looking back at old questions I asked.
Sure. John, though, is like... That's an original name. It's not right. Like he changed it to Johnny.
Yeah, but Chuck is very right like Johnny. If you're going to be an action hero, Chuck.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It comes, it's like a kick in the face.
Yeah.
Chuck.
It's like, fuck.
Guts.
Fuck Norris. Shit.
Fuck Norris might have been my adult film acting name.
That's great, actually. Yeah.
Another That's also a great team name. Fuck Norris would be brilliant.
I'm telling you, folks, Jamie is the team.
This is what I said. When it happens, these weird stream of consciousness, Bing commercial-esque conversations, you find snippets make the best team names.
I don't know if I've ever had a Bing commercial-esque conversation. I probably had many, and I just never realized how much like a Bing commercial
many
was.
Many of my friends have decided that our lives are like prolonged Bing commercials because we start out on one subject and end somewhere completely different and then circle back around to the topic again like 20 minutes later.
I don't know about you guys, but I have no respect for Bing.
I don't even know.
I don't either.
I don't even know what Bing does, really.
I have no respect for this question either.
I don't even know what the website URL is.
You know what?
Chuck Norris.
Chuck.
Is Bing? It Bing.edu?
Bing Crosby? Bing Norris?
Bing Norris. What if his real Bing. Name is Net. Norris, and then he had another last name, like Norris Abramowitz or something? I don't know, but he didn't think that was tough.
You think it's an embarrassing rhyming name, like Morris Norris?
Morris Norris. Oh, please. I hope so.
Here comes, well, here comes the holy man himself, Porus Morris Norris.
Oh, my God.
You thought I meant holy like godly, but I actually meant he was full of holes. Full of holes
and able to soak up liquids. Oh, my God.
SpongeBob Norris.
Although his beard does look like steel wool. Oh, God, help me.
How about Robert?
Robert Norris.
I don't know why. I just feel like it's something benign. Like, I don't want to say the name.
Let's go with Chester.
Something nerdy?
Nerdy, like Chester. Poindexter Norris.
Chester, Chuck. That would at least make a little sense.
That's like a logical jump.
There's some logic there.
Yeah, right?
All right. Chester.
Chester.
The correct answer is Carlos.
Oh.
Oh, my.
I did not realize he was
like
Latino.
Like Charlie Sheen, nay, Carlos Estevez.
Right. Is Norris his last name?
I believe
his birth last name? He was born in Norris?
Carlos Ray Norris.
Okay, so he just didn't want to go by Carlos. Now, is that the Native American part of him, or...
Do you think he was, like, whitewashing his name?
Do you think he's more Native American than
he has Irish and Cherokee roots.
Okay.
Does it say why he chose Chuck? Was it, like, one of those, like, old Hollywood stories where they tell you, change your name, kid, that name will never sell? You know, or...
I don't know.
Just curious.
That's what a director told Harrison Ford, not about his name, but he was like, you ain't got what it takes.
Nope. Go back to working with wood, kid.
Yep.
Carpentry.
And then he got right back on the screen again. In Star Wars. In case you don't know. In case anybody doesn't know who Harrison Ford was. Who he is. He's in this little movie called Star Wars.
He was this little bit part called Han Solo.
All right. Got a final question for you guys. This is from the world of music one more time. Close out with another music question. We haven't done well. Just to be honest.
This has been an Amtrak derailing of...
this combines, though, some of your biggest strengths as a team. Mark,
mm-hmm.
it's a music question.
Mm-hmm.
Jamie?
Yes?
There's some theater in here for you, too.
Theater music.
There's also things that we've recently discussed on the podcast in this question.
Wonder Twins here Unite.
Is my final question for this episode, episode 32, yet to be named, featuring Jamie, our guest. Here's the question. What American baritone singer, civil rights activist, and actor known for his Broadway role in Othello? Jamie, if you know this, just hold on until I finish the question. Made 267 song and poetry recordings over his career, was blacklisted during McCarthyism, performed his hit song Old Man River for laborers during the construction of the Sydney Opera House, and later became a political dissident who suspected himself to be a victim of the CIA mind control program known as MK Ultra.
Whoa.
Holy crap.
Do I talk about? They slowly looked at each other, and then eyebrows raised, and then looked back at me with nothing.
I'm going to, Mark.
Old Man River.
Do me a favor. I'm going to go in the tank.
Okay.
On our team, we have a tradition where all Stranger Things fans, just like 11 sometimes, has to go in the tank, has to face the scary guy.
This is your dark place you're talking about.
I have to, yes. Mine is a watery tank of blackness. I have to go there right now. I may have a nosebleed. I may wet myself.
Just think out
maybe
loud.
Both.
But I'm going to try
close
to find
your eyes
the answer.
If you need to. American baritone singer. Civil rights activist.
Civil rights activist.
Baritone known singer. For his Broadway role, Othello. River.
Okay.
Sang Old Man River.
Okay.
During I'm the construction gonna... of the... Technically the first performer at okay. the Sydney Opera House.
Mark...
This individual.
Is it going to mess you up if I just stream of consciousness?
Mm-mm.
Okay, I know James Earl Jones has done a variety of theatrical works.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if he's done a musical. Mm. I know I could sing Old Man River right now. But I'm going to spare everyone that indecency. It's from Showboat, which was a very racially charged and way ahead of its time musical because it involved someone's racial identity and not being what everyone thought it was and having to hide that and mask it. And that's the 1920s, way ahead of its time. So that's not surprising that a person in that show would have that political mantle. The name Paul keeps coming up to me. Lee just made eyes at me. Oh, Lee, that was so sexy. What? I'm Paul something. Paul.
Paul Anka.
No. Paul.
If we were at an actual trivia event, I would have kept a poker face, but I feel so bad that Jamie hasn't gotten one yet.
I mean, this is rare.
He's
Paul.
Mark, any ideas?
What were the other clues?
Baritone singer, civil rights activist, known for his Broadway role, Othello, 267 song and poetry recordings, blacklisted during the McCarthy era, could not work in Hollywood, performed his hit song Old Man River, as Jamie said, from the show Showboat, during the construction of the Sydney Opera House for laborers. Technically the first performance on that
site. Something just hit me.
And believed he was a victim of MK Ultra.
Paul Robeson. Oh,
Paul man. Robeson.
My sweet Lord.
Jesus, holy shit.
I might cry. Mark, hold me. Hold me. It's taken
me. Old Man River. That old man river. I can't believe you got that.
Just keeps rolling. Oh my God. Okay. You know what?
That's right.
You know what? I'm proud of my episode.
I'm glad.
One question I got right, but I got the right question right, ladies and gentlemen.
That's right.
True. Good job. I will go to my grave. Knowing I got that one right. And that, my friends, is the dark place. I went there. I came back. I'll have you note, I didn't wet my pants.
Dry pants.
No trickle pants of blood from the nasal region.
Dry face.
I, Paul Robeson.
You almost gave up.
I almost gave up.
You almost gave up.
Mark, you know why I didn't give up, Mark?
Why?
Because as you say, every Wednesday night.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, but what if I fall?
Oh, but what if you fly?
And Mark, we just flew.
You just flapped those
Can I just mention as an offhand here that I was in a pole dancing instructional room the other day and they had that on the wall. What if I fall? Oh, my darling, but what if you fly? I really should have taken a picture and sent it to you. But I thought of you immediately.
Okay, can I please? Now you know what I'm picturing, right?
Yeah.
You, high heels, working that pole.
I could not do what those ladies
were doing. Oh, my God, no. Yeah, Lee, you gotta have some serious...
That's what I do in my spare time, by the way, in case you're wondering. Mark, do you have a question for us? Final question?
Didn't I ask you a final question? I did.
I have a question. Do you guys want a question from me?
Jamie.
I haven't asked a question in a long time, so I might be out of practice, but here we go.
Let's hear it.
It's also a music question, kind of.
Great.
What singer who was popular in the 1970s wrote the iconic commercial jingles, I am stuck on Band-Aids because Band-Aids stuck on me, and like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Hmm. Well, I just heard Weezer's cover of that recently, which is pretty good.
Of State Farm?
The State Farm.
Really?
You know, just as an aside, we've talked about this. Are they
just selling out or what?
We've talked about this, Mark. You're wearing a teal shirt right now. The teal album, the Weezer. I hate it. I just hate it, basically.
I don't hate it, but I don't feel favorably toward it.
I love the idea of it. So that's why I hate it, because it did not live up to my expectations. I looked at the track list, and I was like imagining Weezer covering all of these songs. State Farm theme not on that album, by the way. But okay, they did do a cover of that.
I'm looking at you like, did they really record that?
But the tracks on the Teal album, they just they don't have a Weezer sound. They sound very close to the originals. And I didn't have Kiss too posters close on the wall. I had Weezer posters on the wall when I was a kid. They were my favorite rock band. And I want to build the time machine expressly to go back in time and rip that poster down.
Oh my gosh. I would have never
given them the money.
Wow.
If I knew that this is how they would spend it.
All I know is anybody who can fill their video with the Muppets has got my vote.
That's a great song.
Keep it is a really great song.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Anyways, back to this. So what was the era that you...
Well, the singer was popular. His career really blossomed in the 70s. Oh, but I just gave you a hint. It's a he. But he, before really coming into fame, wrote commercial jingles. Many, many, many of the ones that still are around today, such as I'm Stuck on Band-Aids because Band-Aids stuck on me. Like a Good Neighbor, State Farm is there. And I believe also The Best Part of Waking Up is Folgers in Your Cup.
Wow. I didn't know that all those were tied together.
I know this. Because when looking for the Weezer version,
you came across the original.
It said it in the title.
Oh.
Interesting. And I almost made it a trivia question for myself. And I want to say it's Pat Boone. I remember...
Florida.
It was a name like that.
Pat Boone from Florida?
I have no idea. Couldn't help you there.
Pat Boone goes back further than the 70s, though, doesn't he?
Yeah, way further.
Because
wasn't he the cat doing cover tune, shall we say? Like, Tutti Frutti, Oh Rudy.
Right.
You know?
In case you don't want to listen to Little Richard.
Yeah, in case that was too raucous for you. You needed to filter it through a young man in a cardigan.
Throw some vanilla in there.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Pat Boone... Barry Manilow? No, that's well before the 70s.
No, it might be Barry Manilow.
Neil Diamond.
It wasn't Neil Diamond.
Kenny Rogers?
Mm-mm.
No?
His name's funny to me. I don't know. just thinking about Kenny Rogers makes me giggle.
My stepbrother got married at his old farm. They like rented it out.
Was it a State Farm?
Did they cater it with Kenny Rogers roasters?
No.
I'm sorry.
All I remember is I don't even remember the food. They had a lot of candy though. There's just candy everywhere.
Oh, nice.
Take bags and bags of candy.
Sweet.
You would have loved it getting the candy grab. I know you, Mark.
You know that I love a good
candy. Take as much as you want.
That would also be a good team name, Candy Grab.
Candy Grab.
Also a good drag name.
So you want to go with Barry Manilow?
Yeah, I kind of do.
Barry and Manilow. The answer is Barry Manilow.
Oh!
Yes.
All right.
He wrote a ton of them, like, and they basically have stuck around, much like Band-Aids, this whole time.
Great joke.
Thank you.
Stuck around just placed. Like, man, Jamie, what a pleasure it has been to have you on the podcast.
Thank you.
I know that you didn't live up to your performance expectations, but I just want to tell you, as a host,
wow,
having you as a guest has been a pure delight.
Thank you. It's
very
been,
joyful.
I have, since day one, wanted to come on. And it went a whole different way in my mind. Let me tell you. And if you would be willing to have me back at any time, God, I hope I do a little bit better.
I'm sure we will. All right. That concludes this episode of the No Nonsense Trivia Podcast. My name is Quizmaster Lee Brushnighty. You can catch me hosting trivia live on Mondays at Three Pepper Burrito Company in downtown Fort Myers at 7:30. Come face off against the wet boys, Mark, Jamie, Fletcher, Kristen, and every now and then a fifth wheel of some sort will show up.
Come on down.
Come on down. Three Pepper Burrito Company. That's on Mondays. I'm on at Bury Me Brewing Company on Wednesdays. That's also in Fort Myers. That one starts at 7. And each and every Thursday evening at Number 3 Craft Brews and Beer Bar in downtown Cape Coral. That show starting at 7:30. Mr. Quiz Daddy Mark Davis, tell our listeners, our people out there in listenerland, where you can be found. On Wednesdays.
Wednesday nights, you can find me at Nice Guys Pints and Pies.
And yo, sometimes they give out yo-yos for prizes.
What?
It's true.
Uh-huh.
Starts at 9, ends around 10:30. Free to play. Delicious food there.
Delicious. Etc.
What more can I say, Lee?
Etc., etc., etc. Pinball.
And pinball. I'll be the loud guy.
Mention the pinball. Yep. And Jamie will be there. Jamie is always there on Wednesdays as well. Join us, won't you? How many times do we have to ask you?
Won't you? We're not going to beg.
Also, throw us a review. Thanks to those of you that have reviewed us on Apple Podcasts.
Here's an idea. Put 5 stars.
Just an idea. You also please also don't say that we ask you to put 5 stars in the review itself. That looks a little bad.
That's somebody shady. Did
that. I think that might have been the guy who knows everything from Oregon.
They told me to do this.
Still got to get his shirt in the mail. Sorry, I haven't mailed that out, but
yeah, and Tommy's way behind. Shirt.
I got Tommy's shirt sitting on my desk right now, waiting for pickup.
Not in the mail yet.
We have to. I also have Sarah's shirt as well.
Good.
I know it's only been like 6 months, but you know what? As a penance. Let's give away 2 shirts this week.
Okay.
Ooh. Share the podcast on your social media platform. Send us some evidence that you've done so. And we'll throw you in. We're going to give out 2 shirts this week. Two shirts. Do that. You don't even have to review us. Just share. But if you have a minute, please give us a review too. That really helps us, a rating and a review.
Thank you.
And if you have a rate my question, a missed correction, something like that, email us, nononsensetrivia@gmail.com. We're on Facebook. We're on Instagram. We're on Twitter. I always mispronounce the Twitter username on here. I think I've done it like 20 episodes in a row. I always say it's no non-triv. It's not.
No.
We are at no non-trivia.
Oh, boy. Oh.
Yep. So last 20 episodes, just ignore what I was saying there.
Whoever that guy is, he tweets some crap.
Yeah. Gil even reached out to us and told us about that. And I still did it afterwards. I still did it wrong. Thanks, Gil. All right. Until next time, no nonsense listeners.
Fuck Norris.